This is WILS. It was one of North America's biggest UFO sightings. And my next guest was there. Grant Cameron is with us. He's the author of the new book, Charlie Red Star. And this thing happened up in Canada. Grant, great to have you on WILS.
Well, thank you, Michael, for your interest, and I appreciate being on.
We're going back to the mid-70s. What were you doing back then?
I was attending university, not knowing where I was going to go, and a small town, 35 miles from, I live in Winnipeg, which is a fairly big city, started having sightings, and the only reason I went out is to see what everybody was looking at, because it was a big story. It was actually all along the Canadian-U.S. border. I was just sort of north of North Dakota, but Minnesota was getting inundated with sightings, so was Wisconsin, and actually there was actually a sighting at Wurtsmith Air Force Base north of you, where one was actually inside the nuclear weapon storage area.
Which is what?
What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just interrupted you. My question is, when you say sightings, what were you seeing exactly?
I saw a number during the year that I investigated. I went out there the first night. We didn't know what people were looking at. We knew people were seeing stuff. When I finally saw it, it came from the left to the right. It looked like it was alive. It was like a glowing sort of plasma object down very low, close to the ground, flew right in front of the car, maybe a half mile in front of the car. It was moving up and down, sort of bobbing motion.
Were you alone, or what was this?
I had two people in the car with me, and then two nights later, I took all my friends out there, and there was groups of people. Like, there was, dozens of people on various country roads trying to see this thing. So the second night, there was a lot more people that saw it. The second night, it flew right at us, and it was at that point, I was determined, like, why is nobody investigating this? And so what I did is I spent a year of my life just going into a small town called Carmen, Manitoba, which is near the U.S. border, and interviewing people who had seen this thing, and discovered that, like in the high school, over 50% of the kids in the high school said they had seen this thing.
But so isn't it scary when you're confronted with this kind of an object?
Well, not if you're chasing it. We chased it for quite a while. In April of 1976, it turned around and it came after us and sat on top of the car. It was the scariest moment of my life. But in the 1975...
What was that like? Break it down for me. It's on your car. What happens?
Well, there was some small objects that started to appear on the ground in 1976. Now we call them orbs. These things are on the ground, and I had some kids who were doing science fair projects, and I was showing them these things, and they would react to lights. You could flash lights at them. They would respond back and stuff. And suddenly this thing started to do this beeping, whistling noise, and it was maybe, I don't know how far, maybe 500 yards, 1,000 yards away from us. And this object appeared on the U.S. border, and it was like a huge arc welding light, and I knew we were in trouble, and the thing made this big sort of circle, and when it circled around over top of the car, it changed into this huge object with big triangle lights on it, like lights on the corners of the triangle, maybe 5-10 feet across, and it was right above the car, and I had binoculars. I was inside the car with the binoculars.
So did you feel like you were being attacked somehow, or...?
Well, I figured we were going to be abducted. I figured it was, because I was afraid of the kids, because these kids were all excited. They were jumping around the car, and I was just petrified, because I had the responsibility of these young kids. And this thing was definitely, had turned around, now it was coming after us, and it sat above the car, and it just sort of made this slight motion, and the fear instantly went away. It was like you take a film, and you cut the film and put the film back together. It was a sort of a jerky thing, and then the fear instantly went away, and this thing just flew off. So I would say probably in 2 years of investigation, I probably had about 100 sightings. Jeez. And the guy who had the most sightings was the guy who owned the airport out there. He had 150 sightings. And then in 1976, it went away, and nobody's had a sighting there since.
Well, what do you think, what was it that was happening that drew all these UFO incidents?
For 35 years, I had no idea whatsoever why it was in this small town. It was just a small town that had farming, grain farming. And I went back to, I was going to do a lecture in the United States on it,
just to clarify, so a little north of North Dakota, basically, in Canada, is that right?
Yeah, about 25 miles north of the border, North Dakota border, is where this town was. So I went and talked to the guy who owned the airport there, and I said, Bob, why were they here in Carmen? He said, you know why they're here. I told you why they're here. And I said, Bob, I don't know. He said, I told you. I told you why they're here. And I said, Bob, in 35 years, I have no idea why they came here. And he said, I told you, the nuclear missiles. And the key was in 1975, and now I didn't learn this till 35 years later, 1975 in North Dakota. North Dakota, if it had been a country, would have been a nuclear superpower. Had 300 Minuteman nuclear missile silos all over North Dakota. And in 1975, this is pre-Star Wars. Reagan brought in Star Wars and outer space, but pre-Star Wars in 75, they had these things on the ground, and they had put in 100 new nuclear missiles in 1975 in a town called Nakoma, North Dakota. And the intention was to knock down the Russian incoming missiles. And the whole idea was that the number one target of the Russian missiles is not Washington or Los Angeles. It's the missiles in North Dakota, because unless you take out the missiles in North Dakota, you're not going to see what actually happens. So they had these missiles set up in 1975 to try to stop these incoming Russian missiles, to try to shoot them down. They started taking them out in November of 1975, and the UFOs went away. But I didn't realize it until 35 years later.
What exactly was drawing the UFOs, and just the missiles being there, you're saying?
Well, the missiles were there, like these new 100 missiles that were put in. And the other idea was, as I mentioned to you at the beginning, that this happened all along the American-U.S. border. The war had just ended. The Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia had been lost. And it was the domino theory was the idea, what are the Russians going to take next? They're going to go after South Korea, Philippines, Indonesia, whatever. And because the Americans didn't have any, this is my theory, because the Americans didn't have any troops in Southeast Asia, they were looking at because my first sighting was 2 weeks after the end of the Vietnam War. And so the idea that they were thinking of using the nuclear weapons, and this intelligence was picked it up, because in Loring Air Force Base in Maine, they were inside that base over the nuclear missiles in 1975.
So what you think they were stopping them somehow from being engaged, or what were they doing exactly?
Well, in some cases we know, like the Reynolds from Forest, if you're familiar with the very famous Reynolds from Forest case, in that one they reported that they actually interfered with the nuclear missiles. At Malmstrom, we know in 1967 they actually shut down 10 nuclear warheads there. They just completely shut the whole system down. Mm-hmm. And just giving this warning that we know what's going on and you're playing with this stuff, and they... there's a lot of that's been written now about the interest of...
Yeah, why aren't they over in North Korea then, helping us out there?
Well, because we have like 10,000 nuclear missiles. They have maybe one that, you know, really is very amateur, very small, and they may be there. We don't have any reporting as to what's going on there. Right. We just know that there's a lot of reports over the United States, over areas where... we have nuclear plants where they were doing the plutonium stuff. Yeah. As we put the records together over the years, we started to realize that they have a very great interest in our nuclear weapon program.
Just a minute left. Why do you think they have such an interest? Why are they so interested in that program in particular?
Well, because the damage that it does. I mean, 39% of all people who claim to have been on the ship or experienced will talk either about nuclear missiles, that they're concerned about nuclear missiles, or the environmental thing, that we are wrecking the world environmentally. Yeah,
but why do they care? I mean, they're not from our planet, right? Why do they care about what happens to us here?
Well, if it's just us, but if it does, if everything is one in the universe, if everything interferes with the rest of it, it's like you've got the matches, and we think it's only going to affect our little area, but it may affect the entire universe. And that's basically the kind of message they say, is that it doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody else's when you're playing around with this kind of stuff.
Grant Cameron, his brand new book is Charlie Red Star, True Reports of One of North America's Biggest UFO Sightings. Charlie Red Star. It is Grant Cameron right here on 1320 WILS. Grant, it's been very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that is it. It is Friday. We're back on Monday at 6 p.m. right here on WILS. Good night.